Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focused on Albany. I am honored today to have Mark Green as my guest. Mark Green is a former public advocate in New York City. And one of the things that we can talk about is his brand new book, Bright Infinite Future and the Future of So what is your new book about?
Well, it was published this month, and it's a generational memoir. And the subtitle is A Generational Memoir on the Progressive Rise. You see, I don't think I'm that interesting. However, I've worked with so many interesting forces of nature, with or against Ralph Nader, Mike Bloomberg, Bill Buckley, Arianna Huffington, the Clintons, the Cuomos, de Blasio, et cetera, on a lot of important moments, on the 9/11 election with Nader, on the Consumer Protection Agency. So I thought that people might be interested in a book that tracked the progressive rise from the 16 movements to the 2016 general election.
But the election this year, I mean, all of the conservative forces are out there. I mean, Bernie Sanders, he's the only so-called liberal out there, but there's also Jill Stein, who is not getting much publicity. Donald Trump and Hillary are both center-right. Am I correct?
Well, I would disagree. Look, there's a spectrum. I've grown up a Louis Brandeis, Ralph Nader progressive advocate, in office as an advocate and as an author. Bernie Sanders is very progressive, and it turns out he's been a great race, brought millions of people into the process, will probably fix and improve the Democratic Party, but he won't be the Democratic nominee. That'll be Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton started out as a liberal at Wellesley, really, and she is now a center-left Democrat, along the lines of, give or take, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. This is who he elected to be president. Donald Trump is a belligerent, a blathering billionaire who is a pseudo-fascist in my mind. And so the election will be a real test of whether I'm right, that there's a progressive rise. Remember, Democrats have won 5 of the last 6 popular votes for president. Remember, there's a rising tide of millennials and minorities and single women, which will be boosting the Democratic nominee. So I think whatever the polls today, while Bernie Sanders is still biting at Hillary Clinton's ankle, after the California primary, I assume, he'll endorse her. They'll work together with a good vice president. And I think she'll win easily and continue this progressive era from Clinton to Obama to Clinton.
I think we're in for a few surprises along the way. I don't think it's going to be as smooth as you're making it out to me. I think there's going to be a lot of surprises and people who you wouldn't expect to hear about. You're going to hear about. I think 2016 is going to be a really interesting year.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, I am not one of the nominees. I am not on their staffs. And so I can share my conclusion in a book, and while acknowledging there'll be a lot of curves on this roller coaster. But if you look at history, if you look at the white vote, when Bill Clinton won the presidency, was 90%. Now the white vote is 70%. And the rise of liberal millennials and minorities as voters are a demographic trend that will boost the Democratic nominee. And Donald Trump is such an outlying radical. He is such an erratic, grubby hater that while he did well in getting 40 to 50% of the 30% of America, that's Republican, he will not do well with the rest of the diverse America, in my view. And so my book ends with a kind of progressive agenda on a democracy for all, an economy for all, a climate for all, and racial justice that we cannot pass today. But with a Democratic president again, the Senate flipping Democratic, which I think most people think will happen, the Supreme Court, when the Scalia seat is filled, will become a 5-4 progressive majority. And after the census of 2020, it's more likely the House will fall if that happens. And it all starts November 8th of this year. It's a different, better America.
Now, let me ask you this. You worked many years with Ralph Nader. Nader ran a couple of times as president. And this year, Jill Stein will be the presidential nominee for the Green Party.
Yes.
I think the Green Party is the only hope in this country for a progressive government.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think that Obamacare, extending health care to 20 million people who didn't have it, was a good progressive idea? Do you think that opening relations with Cuba again was a good progressive idea? After the Wall Street collapse of 2008, the Dodd-Frank bill now regulates derivatives, makes it less likely there'll be a mortgage, fraudulent mortgages and a mortgage bust. That was a liberal idea. So those things happen under, you know, a kind of moderate, progressive Barack Obama. So if you're in a state that is going to go red or blue, Republican or Democrat, no matter what, like California, New York, Texas, Alabama, vote for Jill Stein. But if you're in a state that, like Ohio and Florida or Pennsylvania, you know, swing states, if you vote for Jill Stein, you're increasing the chance that a anti-Muslim, anti-Mexican, anti-Latino, misogynist, lying plutocrat named Donald Trump, if he have a reality show, in reality he'll be the president. That is a risk that is unprecedented. We have never seen that in American history. And I like Joe Stein, but to risk Trump and vote for Stein in a swing state is not progressive.
In Florida in 2000, when the Supreme Court voted Bush in by one vote, was there more to the story in Florida as to why Gore did not win?
Repeat the question. I couldn't quite understand it.
Okay. In 2000, there was
a
big controversy in Florida, which the Supreme Court, with one vote, elected the George Bush. So my question is to you, was there more involved in the Florida election than people realize?
Well, it was the most interesting political story of the past century. My friend and supporter, lawyer David Boies, argued the case for Al Gore, and Jim Baker argued the case for George Bush. And it ended up, you need 270 electoral votes to be president. Well, once all the other states were accounted for, Al Gore had 269 electoral votes. He was one short. So if he won Florida, he'd be the president. If Bush won Florida, Bush would have 271. He'd be president. What happened is that Bush at first won Florida by 537 votes, which is, you know, a movie theater. in a state that has 20 million voters. Mm-hmm. So it was basically a tie. And Ralph Nader was on the ballot because he wanted a third party, and he was trying to get 5% of the vote to qualify for president the next time. I am a protege of Ralph's, but I voted for Al Gore because I'm a Democrat. And what happened is, of course, that the Supreme Court, the five conservative Republican justices, stopped the recount when it looked like if it was a statewide recount, Gore would win. Second, Governor Jeb Bush dropped a lot of minority voters, especially Latinos, mistakenly. Juan Gonzalez is a common name. They would drop the wrong Juan Gonzalez. So between Governor Bush's voter suppression efforts, the Supreme Court's Republican efforts, liberal Jews I know in Palm Beach County mistakenly voted for Pat Buchanan because of a confusing butterfly ballot. There was a confluence of astonishing events that led Bush to win an election that he lost.
Okay,
got to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Okay, I heard something, and maybe you can verify it. I was told that in 2000, Ralph Nader approached Al Gore and said, if you incorporate my platform into the Democratic Party, I will lead the race. And from what I understand, Gore turned him down. Therefore, you cannot blame Ralph Nader for the rise of George Bush. Am I wrong?
Yes. I've been with Nader all day today. I've worked with him for 10 years straight, and I've known him for 40 years. He never went to Gore and said, I'll quit if you adopt my platform. Gore never said no. In my book, Bright Infinite Future, that we're talking about, this 20,000 words on Nader, and I discuss his presidential campaign. I discuss his heroic effort on auto safety that created an auto safety agency and law that saved 3.5 million lives based on the reduced rate of death per mile driven. And so I think Ralph is a unique American original. We can debate what happened in 2000, but I think Nader didn't beat Gore so much as Gore lost. He was ahead of Bush. He didn't use Bill Clinton in a lot of states when Clinton was popular. He lost his home state of Tennessee. He lost the debates to George W. Bush. Al Gore is a very smart, capable Democrat. But those things happened, and he lost the presidency. I think it's kind of unfair to blame Ralph Nader after the fact when there were so many other variables.
Mark, I know you have to get back to your conference. We've been talking for 15 minutes. But I would like to have you back on Focus on Albany to talk about your book, Who Runs Congress? I'd like to talk to you about what happened to Air America, and I'd like to talk to you about the future of the Democratic Party in New York State. Would you be up for it?
Love to. And I lived through all of that because I wrote Who Runs Congress in 1972 with Ralph. And I was the last president of Air America Radio.
And
my book, Bright Infinite Future, does predict, based on historic trends, that Hillary Clinton will beat Donald Trump and continue the progressive era. But I'd love to talk about it in more detail in 1 or 2 weeks. Please call back.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. You've been listening to Mark Green, who is the public advocate for New York City, was the public advocate. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on iTunes. And if you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focused on Albany on Twitter. Thank you, Mark. Have a good time in Washington.
And let me add, please go to brightinfinitefuture.net to learn about the book and get it if you choose. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.